Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, good Friday morning, Houston, Texas. It's a, well, it was a rainy, rainy night all yesterday. Rained on the Astros, sweep. That's okay, they got soft sweep. The soft sweep was when you take three out of four or two out of three. But the last game, I called it a soft sweep yesterday. It needs to be a close game for it to be a soft sweep. It's when you almost sweep, but you just lose one game, and it needs to be the last game of the series. You can't have a soft sweep unless it's the last game of the series that you lose. I invented this, so I kind of make the rules on this. And even though it was a 5-1 loss and Jake Odorizzi was gone after three innings, I'm still going to call it a soft sweep because they did give up a three-run homer. They gave up two. You had Christian Javier giving up two runs in the seventh. So they only scored in two different innings. The home run wasn't a blast. It was Christian Arroyo hit a slap nuts cutter that was right down the middle by Odorizzi. He hit it into the Crawford boxes, so it's not like he hit the train track like Tatis did. So I'm just going to call it a soft sweep. So yay for the Astros. They win 3 of 4 against the Red Sox. They lose yesterday was obviously, I mean, they won 2 of 3. They won 3 of 4, yeah. Yesterday was the 5-1 loss. Offense, two games in a row, kind of let them down. Just no, they had two the night before. They had, and this is after you left a lot of runners in scoring position against the Padres. And then you have been scoring some runs late in games. But, you know, some of your runs came because Marwin Gonzalez, a few games back, ended up really misplaying a for sure double play against Miles Straw and opened the floodgates. Yesterday, the Astros only managed one run. And I think the biggest news to come out of this, or I guess the talking point, I love taking three out of four from the Red Sox. That's fine. And now you've got the Toronto Blue Jays in town, Zach Greinke going tonight. So we'll get into some stuff like this, like that here in this segment. But the thing we've been talking about, Dell, on this show, and by the way, John Granato is gone today. He's doing some kind of golf thing. Golf experience, and so Dell is in studio with me. Trey, welcome to the show. Trey, did you watch the Astros yesterday? What were your thoughts, buddy?
I was hoping to get another great outing out of the bottom of the rotation, considering Framber and Yerkurdy both had really great games, but it was looking good at the beginning, and then it all just kind of fell out.
Trey, can you? This just dawned on me. There's going to be some people who hear your voice who don't know your voice. Could you introduce yourself to some of our listeners this early morning as they head into work? Because maybe they're new to the show. Maybe they never hear you in the morning when we're on. Just tell people a little bit about yourself, Trey.
I'm Trey Campbell. They call me Juggalo Trey for some reason. Right. My dad died recently and left me a bunch of assets that I don't know
Hold on. You told
now,
him
this
to tell
is why
you
I love
about
Trey.
Himself.
Trey, okay. My dad died recently and left me a bunch of assets. Is what? Did you hear that? All that part?
I didn't hear that.
Trey started that part again.
Okay.
I didn't mean you had to, but if you want to go personal, that's fine. I don't have a problem with it.
You come from money,
you, Trey.
I'm
he comes from money.
Yeah, Trey comes
you're
from
left
money.
Assets?
Yeah.
I have a purple Hummer sitting in the driveway.
Is that an asset or
it's an asset.
Okay.
I have a bunch of motorcycles, like two.
Did you already have them?
No, they weren't mine. I have like all these cars that I don't know what to do with. It's very, I stay awake at night wondering how I'm going to get rid of these vehicles. I'm a Gemini.
Okay.
And,
what are Geminis known for? I don't do that whole thing.
I don't
astrology, either. But are Geminis.
You have dual personalities.
Is that split personality? Like,
yes.
Yeah. Split personality.
You seen that movie Split?
Yeah.
That one's crazy, huh?
Yeah. Is that, was he a Gemini?
He might have been.
All right. He was in a lot of, he had a lot of different personalities.
He had something more than being a Gemini.
He got yoked up for the second, for that second one, oh, man.
Professor X?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So tell me, Trey, so that's so now you got a bunch of cars and motorcycles you don't know what to do with.
Right.
You had some property, I think he left you.
I think I have 6 acres now.
Yeah, nice.
Like 3.5, I don't know.
I had 0 acres. I got my house. I don't even know if that's an acre. What usually farm people talk like acres, but I don't know. I'll get to the Astros in a second. And I was at Texans practice for the first time. We'll get to that.
How did Charles the Minihue do?
Well, you have to hold on. You're answering my questions right now.
Sorry.
So, so you're good with if there's anything you need to get, because it sounds like, I mean, you said you stay awake at night and all that stuff. You need to tell people have an affinity for NASCAR.
Yes, I love NASCAR. I've loved NASCAR since I was like one.
I would say it's safe to call you a NASCAR historian.
Yeah, I kind of made the transition from Thomas the Tank Engine to NASCAR when I was a baby and my obsessions.
Trey, do you remember who won the Pocono 400 or whatever number it is in 2014?
That would be Dale Jr. He swept Pocono in 2014.
He what?
He swept Pocono. There's two Pocono races, and Dale Jr. won both of them.
Okay. And do you know who won the Daytona in 2007?
The Daytona 500?
Yeah.
Kevin Harvick.
Well, what other Daytona is there?
You want to step it up with these questions?
Yeah, I mean, I know they're easy. What's the other Daytona?
Daytona races in a season.
You're asking for the big, big races. These are things he's going to know.
Well, you lived in NASCAR country.
I didn't live in NASCAR country.
You lived the experience.
I was born there, and I was there for like a year and a half.
Okay, ask, what's another race? The
Talladega, that's another big race.
Talladega, who won in 2001? Who finished second in 2001, Trey?
To which the fall race.
Didn't know there's all these things.
The fall race, I believe, Tony Stewart finished second and Dale Jr. won. And there was a big wreck and Bobby Labonte flipped over. And
we've got Rain Man of NASCAR. It's not even close.
The spring 2001 race was Bobby Labonte or Bobby Hamlin.
Bobby Hamlin, yeah.
He won and there was no caution.
I remember that.
No, you don't.
So you are. So just in case you need to know who you're dealing with here, and Trey does other sports too. Trey's not just NASCAR, but he's on a different level when it comes to NASCAR. It's like Trey knows things in NASCAR. Let's just put it that way. He's like, you know how Gilbert knows when celebrities died and all the top number one hits in music from the 1970s? Trey's like that with all of NASCAR. So if you hear that voice and you don't recognize the voice, that's why. Dell's in studio with me today. Now, back to Jake Odorizzi. We've been talking about Luis Garcia versus Odorizzi. What would happen when Odorizzi comes back? John seems to have... I wish John were here for this.
I don't.
Well, just for a segment.
Okay.
A half a segment so he could answer for his Odorizzi affection. He's got an unusual love affair going with Jake Odorizzi. Doesn't anymore.
You think it's an affection or what he just believes is going to happen? That because he's the long staff.
Well, I think he wants it to happen because he's got a vowel at the end of his name, if I'm being honest.
He's one of his people?
Yeah, I think that's how John views it.
So does Luis Garcia has a vowel at the end of his name?
Yeah, but he's not one of John's people.
That's true.
Although John does have some hair coming in like Luis Garcia. But all I know is Luis Garcia has 4 straight wins. And has really been getting after it. And Jake Odorizzi has 1 game where he was good, and the rest of them have been not good. Yesterday, he goes 3 innings, gives up the 3-run homer. As I said, wasn't like it was a blast, but he also had 3 walks in 3 innings, gave up 2 hits. 4 hits. So it's 7 men on base through hits and walks in 3 innings pitch. 7 guys who either had hits or walks. You know, it's hits and walks per 9. Well, this time it's per 3. It's 7 for the 3. He had 2 strikeouts. His stuff wasn't that good, honestly. And he has been back and pitched ever since he had gone to. So it's not like his first time back from Sugar Land. And the question we've been asking is, do you start Jake Odorizzi or do you put him in a bullpen? And John's comments, and I'm not saying this is, John might be right on this. Jake Odorizzi has been a starter. And he's been an experienced starter who has some pelts on the wall, and that's fine. Not any great pelts here in the very recent future, but Jake Odorizzi has not been a bullpen pitcher. John's feeling was Luis Garcia, even though he's doing great, goes to the bullpen because he has some experience with it. And John may still end up being right on this. I just think, for me, I want to see what you think here. If you're a starting pitcher, and Christian Javier has
a lot of value as a long reliever now. I still feel like I would rather have the best starting five that I can get if I have an opportunity to have that, if all things are equal. And for me, Odorizzi is not good enough. If Odorizzi were better, I'd say, okay, let's go with Odorizzi and see what happens with Luis Garcia in the pen. Because the bullpen could use some help, and let's face it, there's a new potential mode of operation for the Astros where they can go five or six with a starter and go 2 to 3 innings with one of their, with Christian Javier or a guy like Garcia. But right now, I just don't see enough from Odorizzi to make me want to lock in with him as a starter. I just say go with the guy who has gone over 100 pitches the last two times out because he's going deeper in games, 6 and 7 innings the last two times for Garcia.
Now, you laid out how the issues with the bullpen and what Christian Javier can provide. What's Jake Odorizzi's value in the bullpen?
That he's not some of those other guys? I don't know that you're
right. He's pitching like those other guys.
If he pitches like this, no value.
He has no value, so you have a starting caliber pitcher. I'm not going to insult him. He's not been good this year, but throughout his career, a starting caliber pitcher who provides nothing for you. I don't know how he works. Can he come in and get in it, go 2 to 3 innings without... I'm sure they'll tell him this could be a game for you, but is he going to be a guy who can come in at almost a drop of the hat and go 3 innings? These are the things I don't know about Jake Odorizzi. So, and this is a discussion you guys have had, whether Garcia or Odorizzi should go, but it is kind of deflating watching if Odorizzi continues to start and he continues to put up these type of performances when you know Garcia is just sitting there. I would go with Garcia too. I just don't know what value Odorizzi brings if he's going to be a guy coming out of the bullpen and he can't give you what Javier gives you. Can he do that?
Let me flip it. Here's something else I was just thinking of. And this is just, it's a weird way of thinking about it, but it actually, when you start thinking about it logically, it does make sense. What about this? What about if, okay, it's obviously much more dangerous to be giving up runs in the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th innings because you don't have time to make it up. What if the logic is, you know what? We would rather have the better pitcher with a chance pitching those innings, you know, in one of our games at least, where we don't have to rely on the bullpen the entire time to give us 6, 7, 8, 9 or 7, 8, 9. So why don't we go Odorizzi? And if he's just on one where he just can't make it happen, we can take him out early and come in with Christian Javier, Luis Garcia, because Javier came in yesterday after Paredes won an inning. Maybe the thought would be, hey, we would rather have Garcia with a chance to go long in the most important innings as opposed to another guy pitching like the bullpen, like Jake Odorizzi's doing. Maybe the thought would be that, and if Odorizzi's on a good game, then that's fine. You go 5 with him, and if he's not, you get out with him early, and you've got a guy like Luis Garcia who can go longer innings. I don't know. I mean,
so you want to team the two up possibly, and they'll all right, you tell both of them, this is your day. And you know what, Luis?
I think you have to. Javier hadn't pitched for a while. So that's how I knew it was going to be a two-man game. It was Javier, I figured, and Odorizzi. The only difference is Odorizzi only went 3, which I'm sure they anticipated more. So they went Paredes for an inning, and then they came in with Christian Javier, who went 3 innings. So, I mean, they did get, you know, they did get 7 innings out of those 3 guys before they went to the pen. The pen held on after that. But I don't know. I just think it could be an interesting decision. It feels like an easy decision, honestly. Just sorry, Garcia's a starter, you go to the pen.
That's Odorizzi. What it feels like to me. Why the game of playing, Odorizzi can give us 4 possibly, then we'll go to Garcia. And if Odorizzi gives up 3 runs through 4 innings, we'll try to work around it. Or just go to the guy who doesn't do that at all.
I know. That's the standard way of thinking about things. Let's take a break right now. We see you on the, who is that, Kirby?
Yeah.
Kirby, we see you. Want to talk Jake Odorizzi. We got a lot to get into. I was at Texans camp yesterday for the first time, got an invite out there. So I went out there, watched. I got some stuff to report to. In the NBA, there are 2 series that are now officially finished after last night. And there's a lot more to get into about Trae Young is in the New York Knicks' head and the fans' head. It's rare that I've seen a player get into an entire fan base's head this bad. We've got audio that we're trying to have Trey clean up. We'll see how that goes. And then I want to ask a question off of that. But that's coming up at about 7:30. We'll get into that. So right now, if you guys want to jump in and hit on this Astros, or if you have something else you want to talk about, LeBron is officially out. We'll get to that here in a second. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. It's The Bench with Lance, Dell, and Juggalo Trey.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warrior sound!
Real. Let's go! Fun. Sports.
I'm in love with the coco.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, Trey, it's going down today. When somebody tells you, I have a Zoom call with like a nutritionist lady that helps with, she's out of Dallas, that helps with food allergies, and because I've got an issue with some foods that I got to get figured out, and well, mostly just desserts. But other than that, though, but like physically, body type wise, there's certain foods that I'm just, my body's not tolerating. So I got to figure it out. And so there's this doctor in Dallas that's really, really good. She is a nutritionist. She's not a doctor, but she does what's called functional medicine. And my guy, Duke Mannyweather out of Dallas, he put me on to her, and he's had DJ Fluker, who really reinvented himself physically, went to, you know, they found that he was allergic to things like salmon, his body was, and these tests are comprehensive, and they find out exactly what your body needs and what it doesn't tolerate, the problems, and you reorganize all your food and you're eating completely through a massive series of tests and things like that. So he tells me, now I'm a happily married man, Trey. You know that, don't you?
Of course.
Yeah. So I don't even care. Now, a pretty girl is a pretty girl. I have to say that just because it's part of the story here. But Duke says, hey, when's your Zoom call with Rachel? And I said, oh, it's Friday. He goes, I better warn you. Have you seen her? I'm like, no, why would I see? No, she's in Dallas. I haven't seen her. I just talked on the phone. He goes, well, you need to look up the Instagram. Check her out on the gram. He goes, she's like really serious about nutrition, in great shape and all this and that. He goes, but she also looks like a top end Instagram model. I'm like, wait, what now? I just talked to her. She seems, he goes, yeah, she doesn't act like Instagram model. He's like, she's a fitness machine. And so I looked and I'm like, yeah, you know, whatever. So, okay, Duke was right. I wasn't expecting some of those pictures. And if you'll see, it's a tile of, you know, pictures where it's a picture of her and then like motivational stuff.
Of course.
Or comment. And so it's like a complete tile on her Instagram. She rotates picture of how I look. Which is in shape, which is it's good advertising for herself.
Of course.
And then like, hey, health is an investment, not an expense. You know, things like that.
Do you think Duke warned?
I feel like it is an expense.
It'll
based
be an
on
expense
what I just
for
paid.
You. Do you think Duke warned you just because he didn't want you to go into it and be deer in the headlights when you got on the Zoom?
Yeah, I think he wanted me not to. Hey, I don't want you to sit there and not be able to talk for.
Yeah,
I'm like,
not
Duke. I'm not that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. This particular Instagram video you're showing me of her is going to help the show. I mean, it's helping me.
Yeah, it's not for anyone to see, but you.
See, these are things I question. Not necessarily what she's doing. I mean, hey, you clearly have worked very hard on yourself.
Yeah,
you should be more than
and
happy.
She's great. Like all of her reviews are. She's changed six of his athletes completely. Mm-hmm. NFL players have changed their body types completely. She's awesome. It's just that, you know, I just wasn't. I know what Duke was talking about. He said, if you're not ready for it, you're going to be like, hey, I thought you were just a nutritionist. And
I don't
like,
subscribe
yeah.
to that thing that guys do sometimes. They're like, well, if she didn't want comments, she wouldn't do this. Like, you know, like the AT&T.
Oh, you subscribe to that?
No, I don't subscribe to that. The AT&T commercial woman, Lily, is her
her commercial name. I think her name's like Milena or something like that. She, you know, she had an issue because guys, all they do was comment on her body. And you and John were talking about it. And at one point, I think John was like, well, he pulled up some image from like 10 years ago where her cleavage was showing. He goes, what does she want from us?
Yeah.
What do you want us to say? So I don't subscribe to that. But that video you showed me where she does a little shimmy, I'm like,
yeah,
okay. What's that about?
It's just okay. A flex.
It's just a flex.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's just a flex. Like, but, you want to look like this? And I'm like, I don't.
No.
I don't want to look like the female version of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the male version
but
is fine.
But congratulations to you on your Zoom meeting coming up.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate
that. And hopefully you can get through without a scandal.
Yeah, don't go tubing on us.
Don't go what?
Tubin.
Don't go tubing on us.
What does
Jeffrey
that mean?
Jeffrey Tubin was.
Oh, Tubin! You know, you're the second. Chris Solis told me that last night. I was at dinner with him for his birthday. He brought up Jeffrey Tubin's name. Can y'all not? I'm not going to go Jeffrey Tubin. I'm not going to go tubing on anybody.
Are you going to keep your clothes on,
yes.
Lance?
Yes. This is just a. Yes. I can't wait for her to school me up on what I need. And I got to do all these blood work and all this crap. So, yeah.
Well, hopefully this does wonders for you and Rachel and you. Work together to find the best suited, you know, solution for
you. She also said this, fasting from people is important.
Well, that's what I do
all the
time.
That's true.
This is what I do.
That's true.
She ain't got to tell me that.
That's true. I'm going to save the Trey Young thing coming up here in a second. I was at Houston Texans camp yesterday. Kirby, sorry about that. I just had to get that off my chest. If you want to jump back in, 713-780-3776. So, I was at Houston Texans camp. It's invite only. It's kind of like a club. When you go out there, there's velvet ropes.
What a trash ass club!
There's
I didn't get invited
ropes,
to.
And they'll open up the velvet ropes, and so I got into the VIP section.
Tyrod Taylor's here.
It's me, Adam Wexler. Now there's two sections there. There's the dirty and there's the clean.
The vaccinated?
Well, I am vaccinated, but they treat us like we're the dirty ones
because you're not the 6'10" club.
Yes. Now all the 6'10" people don't have to wear masks. Mark Vandermeer, and maybe it's because they have to get tested out there. I don't know. But the clean people, they don't wear masks. The dirty people like me and Adam Wexler and even Brian T. Smith, I saw him. He was considered dirty, so they put him on the other side. We had this partition where I was told, I went across and went to go dap up John Harris, and I was told, hey, Lance, how you doing? I'm like, hey, what's up, dude? How you doing? Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is a guy who works there. I'm like, oh, I remember from 3 years ago. Yeah. Hey, you can't. You're not supposed to be across this area, and I'm like, oh, are we all media? No, sir, you're dirty media. And he didn't call me dirty media, but that's what he was saying. And he said also, you need to have a mask on. I'm gonna go get you a mask.
Can you break down? It was it 6'10" and John McClain in one section, and then everyone else in the other.
6'10" John McClain, Texans radio, like Harris and Drew.
Like yeah, okay.
Right, same thing. Yeah. Yeah. It was separate but equal.
Were there different water fountains for everybody?
No,
what are you talking
about? We were underneath some shade.
Oh, that's
actually,
nice.
Actually, we actually kind of had it better. But we had to wear masks. They didn't. We had to wear the thing the NFL people have to wear, which is they're still doing this. These things will beep. If you get within 6 feet of someone or 5 feet, you wear it in a lanyard and you can put it in your pocket. And if you get too close, it'll start beeping and going off. And
so were you like tier four personnel and they're like tier two? Because you know that came out last year.
That's probably what it is.
They're tier two, tier three
personnel?
Yeah,
I joke about clean and dirty, but that's probably what it is.
Yeah.
Where they have been tested at some point. Now, I'm vaccinated, but I should have said something like, I ain't wearing this face diaper. I should have gone full face diaper on him, but I didn't do it. You know why? Because I go along to get along, Trey. I put the mask on. I watched practice. Here's what I saw. I watched a little bit of the quarterbacks, Tyrod Taylor. You know, it's basic footwork stuff they're working on. Tyrod Taylor, Jeff Driskel, who is he's a big, good-looking guy, and he was coming out of college, too. Like, he looks the part. And I think he was pretty highly rated when he went to Florida, if I remember correctly.
He was supposed to be the next great one until he wasn't.
Same thing with Davis Mills. He was rated higher than Jeff Driskel when he first came out at Stanford. So Davis Mills is out there, Tyrod Taylor, and also obviously Jeff Driskel. They were throwing it around. Nothing really to tell you. I mean, it was basic stuff. There's nothing that I could really. There's not like one on ones down the field. It wasn't competitive like that. It's literally just fundamentals. and, you know, slide and moving around. Now, Nick Cassero spent a lot of time with wide receivers and quarterbacks. I noticed when he was out there, I saw Jack Easterby out on the field, saw Nick Cassero. David Culley stays kind of quiet, doesn't feel like he's not the guy yelling and running to practice in terms of go here, go there, go there. But Bill O'Brien didn't always do that either. The wide receivers I thought were an interesting collection of players because when you watch them all at one time, see a lot of names, you know, Andre Roberts, who at one time has been a kick return specialist, a third wide receiver. You got Andre Roberts out there. You've got Chris Moore, who is a special teams standout. He's out there. Looks a little bit, has a body type a little bit like Kenny Stills. Looks, feels and looks like Kenny Stills a little bit. So you got Chris Moore, who came over, I think from Baltimore. You've got, but he's really more special teams guy than he is receiver. You got Andre Roberts, as I mentioned. Nico Collins was out there catching passes. I can tell you this, the Nico issue is going to be the same thing he was in college. He looks so much more heavy-footed getting into his breaks on short routes. That's just not going to be him. The Texans are going to have to use him differently because coverage is going to be all over him. So you got to let him build up with his build-up speed and work down the field a little bit more. But I thought Nico looked okay. Hazleton, who's an undrafted free agent, was out there. Alex Erickson, who has been, like, at Cincinnati, a fifth wide receiver, a fourth wide receiver. Sometime he's worked into some third wide receiver stuff. What you have, basically, is what I'm trying to say is, and you know Brandon Cooks. Brandon looks like the best receiver on the field. They got a bunch of Chris Conley, who's got hands like feet.
That's not
but
great.
But runs well, looks the part, just doesn't catch it great. The Houston Texans basically have a bunch of fourth and fifth wide receivers.
Guys you've heard of.
Maybe names
you've seen. Maybe
names you've seen.
The guys who go for like two catches for 18 yards. Those guys.
Or who start off. Yeah, who you remember them at their best. You know, Chris Conley. Oh, he was with the Chiefs. Well, he was. And then he went to Jacksonville last year. And now he's with the Texans.
Yes. So
he had a great workout that got him drafted, probably higher than the tape said he should be drafted. But that's what the Houston Texans have. They have guys who might be a couple who might be borderline wide receiver threes on most teams, and on average teams. Like Chris Conley may be on an average team. I take it back. Andre Roberts is now like a fourth. Alex Erickson's fourth, fifth. That's what they've got. They've got a collection of guys who are maybe better than what they had last year at times at the back end of the roster. But I didn't see Randall Cobb. But they really just have a bunch of recognizable names. That's all it is. I don't think they're going to be, you know, the guy that I was most impressed with, relatively speaking, was Isaiah Coulter, their developmental six-rounder from a few years back. It looks like he's getting a lot better. And I talked to John Harris, and he's seen these guys a lot more. And he just said, you know, Coulter's really coming along. He said he got in the doghouse with OB a little bit, but he's coming along a little bit. So that would be a guy that I keep my eye on. But you'll recognize the names of the Houston Texans receivers this year, even the newcomers. It's just, like you say, Dell, it's more name than game, I think, for a lot of these guys. I don't know that I see difference makers out there.
I like to call them the waiver wire all-stars.
It's not inaccurate.
Those guys who you think in your fantasy football league who may have a couple guys are injured for the team, maybe they'll get a couple targets. These are the guys who populate your Houston Texans wide receiver core.
Right. Yeah, that's what it is. And running back to a little lesser extent, but when we get back later in the show, I'll talk about Philip Lindsay. I really like the juice and the burst that he gives this team. I think he's somebody who needs more conversation. Buddy Howell out there. We'll talk about the Texans throughout the show from here and there. I'll tell you what I saw in camp. Once again, it's more fundamentals, so it's nothing that's really going to stand out other than just watching these guys move. Do they look slow? Do they look explosive? Are they quick? I can see some of those things. I'm used to looking for them. I couldn't see offensive line and defensive line play. They were way on another field, and we don't have that kind of access. So it was kind of limited on what I saw. They did spend plenty of time on special teams. That's going to be a Texans thing. Hell, they added a bunch of special teams players in the offseason. So I would hope they spend a lot of time on that. 713-780-3776. When we come back, Trae Young is in the New York Knicks fans' heads. He's in the Knicks' heads, too. You see how they react and respond to him. I don't know that I've ever seen. I may have to go back to Reggie Miller. I'm trying to think of, and we'll do it on the other side, who's a guy, a player, a single player, who's been in the head of an entire fan base. I'll give you my example. we'll hear from New York Knicks fans. Trey, did you get it all bleeped out?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Because every single person needed to be bleeped out.
Pretty much. But I did it, and it should be good. I'm going to go over it one more time, but I'm 99.9% certain.
And I'm going to throw the question out now if you guys want to jump in, and we'll get to you. Who is the player who has been in your head who you will admit, you know what? And it may not be fun for you to admit because you have an irrational hatred of them or rational. Who is the player who has most gotten into your head all time? Maybe it's somebody college related that's wrecked your college team. Maybe it's somebody in baseball, basketball, football. Maybe it's somebody that you just couldn't beat in high school basketball when you played that just used to ruin you. Who is the player who has been most in your head and you admit that he's rent-free in your head? 713-780-3776. I've got mine. I want to get Dell's when we come back. I want to hear from you guys as well. Coming up next, you'll hear Knicks fans lose their absolute minds. 733 on the bench.
ESPN 97.5. For nearly... This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
No, my wife doesn't watch on Twitch. Twitch? We still are. You have our mic still on during Twitch? You sure?
Yeah, I was told
pretty
to.
Pretty sure. I didn't.
I was told you to remind you for the first couple breaks.
Yeah. Aaron told you that, right?
Yes.
Well, I had program 4 off for 1 and 4, so...
So that then you're good, then.
Yeah.
You're good. We're just trying to protect Lance,
yeah.
That's all.
I'll turn program 4 off for 2 as well, and 3.
Yeah, well, if the mics are down, it doesn't matter, but yeah just make sure Lance is safe.
Okay, yeah, I'll make sure Lance is safe.
Yeah, I'm definitely safe. So, I will tell you, one person on Twitch commenting just said that the person that was in their head most, now this is a great answer, was Mr. Sandman in Mike Tyson Punch Out. Mm. And that's a great one because Mr. Sandman is a guy that is going to whip your ass early on, but once you figure out the pattern, you'll beat Mr. Sandman. But if you know you're supposed to, if your friends are beating Mr. Sandman and you just can't beat him, that's a great example of somebody who could be in your head that's not even a... It's not even a player. It's a video game. But Mr. Sandman was in his head. That's a fantastic one. Dell, who is the player? For me, the player who has been in my head the worst, and most people who have listened for a while will know this one, it's Albert Pujols. I've said in the past in a pretty detailed rant that he made me vomit blood in my driveway. But a lot of that was because he kept wrecking the Astros, and they refused to pitch around him. So the Astros were also... And I don't even remember who the manager was at that time. I was just so pissed off that he continued to ruin the Astros. Without question, the guy that's been in my head the most, the player in my head the most, without question, has been Albert Pujols. I feared him more than hated him. I can find other players I hated. Usually they were Utah Jazz. But the guy that really was in my head the most ever as a fan, 100% Albert Pujols. I've been mad at other players before, sometime for gambling purposes, mm-hmm. and sometime for fantasy football purposes, but more for gambling purposes. And then I guess when I was younger, there were some players that were definitely fit into that mold that, like Buck Johnson, he was on my team, and I hated Buck the Blade Johnson. Like, I hated my own player. I hated him. But there was an irrational hate for Buck Johnson from all Rockets fans for some reason. Who's the one player that's gotten in your head that you can remember? Well, in any sport.
It would have to be college football related. And it's a guy who, and the college football is such a longer process than just the games themselves. It's the recruiting process. And you think you're going to get this guy because he's a Miami guy. He grew up down there. But it's got to be Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook was one of the more prized recruits. He went to Miami Central. Miami people really wanted this guy. He was going to be the guy, the next great Miami running back. Instead, and well, in that time period, rightfully so, Florida State was coming off a national title. He chose Florida State, and he just wrecked Miami for three straight years. He did in games where Miami had.
Isn't that the worst feeling?
Yeah, in games where Miami had leads in 2014, I remember Miami wasn't very good. They finished 6-7, but they were on a high. I think they had won like three in a row, 6-3. Could have been a season of change for them. Dalvin Cook exploded in the fourth quarter, changed the complexion of that game. Florida State came back and won. That was that Florida State team who was always trailing after the national title year. They wound up in the Rose Bowl against Oregon and got blown out. He did it in 2015 as well, and he scored in 2016 as well. All games where Miami had leads, and he scored touchdowns to change the game. And this is a guy. So it was he only played 3 years, but it felt like eight, partly because Miami people had known about him for years and thought he was going to Miami. So every time Dalvin Cook touched the ball, you always held your breath.
If a player makes you say mother, and you get that mad
all
because you know he wrecks you, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it was that way all the time.
Or if you see somebody, you're like, oh no, okay, in college football, if it's game day and you know you're getting ready to play against, I don't know, well, obviously Dalvin Cook for you, but you just know there's a player waiting for you on the other side, and you're like, God, man, I'm a little, I guess it's anybody playing Alabama. Maybe for some people it's Nick Saban. Maybe for some people it's Tua or whatever.
I think Saban's a good choice for a non-player. What he represents, the championships.
Yeah.
His attitude.
He could be in your head a little bit.
Yeah. People hate Nick Saban. I don't hate any coach. I mean, I don't like Bill Belichick, but it doesn't rise to hate.
No.
People really hate Nick Saban.
They really hate Nick Saban. I would think old school Houston is going to be Stockton or Malone, where they really, like, we kind of hated Malone and hated Stockton. They were dirty, and it was really just that now that got really ugly, our feelings toward Utah Jazz fans. I can't really think of anybody, and you know, in football, it's just, I don't know. I don't have that same feeling, like, especially with the Texans. You have to be all in with the Texans. Is anybody really, the percentage of Texans fans who have truly been all in?
Is T.Y. in people?
It has to be. Well, he's popped up on Twitch.
Yeah,
T.Y. Hilton, and T.Y. has to be. If you're big hardcore Texans fans, and I'm a big Texan fan. I am. I'm just saying, no one's hurt my heart like that, but I guess T.Y. Hilton would be the one, because you knew that dreaded ass kicking was coming. You knew there was a sense of dread when T.Y. Hilton hit the field. Jim Edmonds is a good one. Mm. Jim Edmonds with the Cardinals used to wreck the Astros. Ron Gant back in the day. It seems like the Astros have a lot of them. For some reason, I can remember a lot of those guys with the Astros. You know who was also in my head for a good hot minute was Gary Payton. Because the Rockets couldn't beat Seattle, and I always knew Gary Payton because he was a talker. Gary kind of, it was a frustration when you know you can't beat a trash talker. That's a bad feeling. That's a bad feeling, too.
I was thinking basketball would seem like an easier choice for me, but most of the time, it would be random players against my favorite team. Like, oh, look. The eighth man on the bench goes for 25 and you lose. For whatever reason, you don't, probably a lot of people aren't going to remember because it's so niche, but Brevin Knight's brother, Brandon Knight, played for Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
He was a Pittsburgh point guard back in the early 2000s. And that's when Miami was going pretty good in basketball in the Big East. And they never beat that team. Like this, you think UConn and the Big East as a stumbling block, they could never get by those Pittsburgh teams. And this, I'm talking about these teams were battling out it, whether it be in the Big East tournament or a chance to take the lead in the conference in a regular season game, they could never beat them. So I will always remember Brandon Knight for whatever reason. Like, and there have been multiple Knights. There have been Brevin, and then who's the other one?
I don't know, a third.
Maybe it's only two. But Brandon Knight out of Pittsburgh.
Brevin Knight kind of looked like the guy from Startup, the guy who plays the Haitian gangster from LA7.
Didn't Brandon Knight get dunked on by DeAndre Jordan?
No, that's Brandon, and there's a Brandon. So Brandon with the O is, I think, the one you're talking about.
But they're not related.
But the one who went to Kentucky, I think, is the one you're
Chiefs fan about. Chimes in and says, Big Philly, Philip Rivers. I could see how Philip Rivers would be a guy who would be in people's head rent-free. Because he's very obnoxious, especially if you see his act on Mic'd Up. And if you're a rival team like the Chiefs are in the division and he's beating you, I can 100% see Philip Rivers being that guy.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Bag. Yeah.
The Chiefs can't beat me. You can't beat me. Of course, that would have had to be several years ago when he was saying stuff like that. I could see how that guy would 100% be in a fan base's head for sure. All right. So we went through what these are some of the ones that are that are in our heads that have been. If you guys want to chime in, you can, but we're about to play Knicks fans coming up. We're going to do it on the next side.
And I would say, have you ever compared the guy that's in your head to a body part of your dad?
Oh.
Because if you haven't,
you're gonna
hear very...
It's immediately going to stand out.
Yeah.
And then he immediately realizes after he says it, I shouldn't have said that. No. I need to... By the way, Steph Curry 100% is that for Houston. There's no chance that Steph Curry, dating back to like 16 or whatever it was, 15, there's no chance that Steph Curry is not on that list. He has to be on that list for Rockets fans.
What about Draymond?
When we come back, we'll keep delving. We'll delve even deeper into the Houston fan base psyche. It's 7:46 here on the bench.
ESPN 97.5. This is the bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Trae Young! Trae Young looks like my dad! I never saw my dad! He still looks like shit!
Better not catch Trae Dankman! I better not catch Trae Dankman!
Now, yo, give me a shot at it!
Go, New York! Go, New York! Go!
He'll be back!
It's Trae Young, valet!
What you say to Trae Young right now?
Yo, Trae Young, Trae
Young! Yeah, we outside!
Those are gunshots. Pow, 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 pow. There was one guy said Trae Young looks like his dad's bleep. He goes, I've never seen it, but that was just a mistake to say that, sir. You shouldn't have said that in the first place. Knicks fans were really, it was interesting to me. I literally couldn't care less about the Knicks and Hawks series. I really don't. Irrelevant. You know, the Knicks thing is, it's good if the Knicks, I think, are back a little bit. That's
is
great.
It?
Well,
does it?
It doesn't really matter. Honestly, I'm just saying that out loud as a radio guy. Like, I'm supposed to, like, you know, it's actually good when Notre Dame is good in football.
Doesn't matter.
It's better for college football when Notre Dame.
It doesn't matter.
Why is it better? Because they're going to end up in the playoffs and get stomped out and a better team should have been there?
Sure.
That's all it is.
It's great to when Knicks fans can delude themselves into thinking things are going to go well, and then when bad things happen to them, I love that.
But this is after they've been eliminated. They're going, I mean, you see, the one guy goes, give me my Henny, and he starts chugging Henny before he starts screaming.
Did you see when they took the streets after winning game two? And people are like, wait a minute, all you guys did was lose home court advantage. What are you so excited about? This is what we're talking about. And then ESPN, you know, ESPN jumps on the train. Malika Andrews, who's become a star, she was their big contributor reporter in the bubble. That's, I think, where she rose to fame last year. Now, she did like this love letter to New York with the video and stuff. They're talking about how the foundation's there. What foundation? Like, you want to pay Julius Randle $30-plus million after what you saw in the playoffs? Is that the foundation? Derrick Rose is 30. Their two most important players are Julius Randle.
I mean,
and RJ Barrett's in there too, so I'll be a little respectful of him. Their top three are RJ Barrett, Julius Randle, and Derrick Rose. Do you want to pay Derrick Rose a lot of money and Julius Randle a lot of money?
No.
So what foundation? The Knicks are going to have The Knicks are going to have to hope what happened to the Nets happened, where they became an organization that was doing things correctly
for a couple years somehow.
And then a couple stars go, you know what? The Knicks aren't bad. They figured it out. I want to play there. The Nets stayed in that realm of being, you know, the plucky 5 or 6 seed, and then they're in a location that Kyrie and KD liked, and you see what happens. The Knicks are going to have to hope this year, fool, because James Dolan is still there, gets a couple stars, go, you know what, maybe playing in New York wouldn't be so bad. But the Randle-Rose-Baird combination isn't enough.
It's no good, and they got eliminated. The fans are still hyped. The Hawks are irrelevant to me. I mean, the Hawks are probably one of the most irrelevant playoff teams every year to me, it seems like. but they move on. But Trae Young's a good player. He's also leaning into this troll bit against.
He's their new Reggie Miller.
He is, and it's really pissing off. When somebody spits at you, they're really, you are in their head. Obviously, Russell Westbrook gets in people's head too because somebody had to pour popcorn on him. He's been in multiple he's had multiple issues with multiple fan bases. I think there's something about Russ, and Russ does kind of play into the crowd from time to time. Obviously, he gets in people's head. My buddy, who's a Longhorn, says Bob Stoops and John Starks. Starks is somebody that could really annoy you. I get the John Starks. It's not that John Starks ruins your team necessarily. This gets into the point of you have an irrational hate for him. Bob Stoops is because he's a Longhorn, and he knew Stoops was going to, you know, put a 40-point loss on him at any second. Bob Stoops could embarrass your university with one of his squads. Jason Terry, I've seen that name. That's a good one. For me, Kevin Brown. Christian Laettner is probably one of the all-time greats of getting in everyone's head where you had an irrational hatred. Like, I could see Christian Laettner in this day and age, people trying to spit at him and throw popcorn on him.
I can't believe J.J. Redick's name hasn't been mentioned.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
J.J. Redick's a great one. That's the see.
He played into it, and he was annoying as hell.
People hated J.J. Redick.
Yeah.
They hated J.J. Redick.
Some dude said he banged his sister when his sister was like a child. They said that straight to his face.
Excuse me, Trey?
That's what they said to J.J. Redick. They said they got with his sister and his sister was a child.
That's too much, Trey.
It is too much.
It's too much for somebody to heckle somebody with.
Yeah, it's too much.
How do you know this? He said this?
I saw it on the thing, you know, the feature they did on J.J. Redick. And how people would yell F U J J during the national anthem, and he would read poetry, and he got the worst of it. You would think, right?
I would say, Well, he's a Duke guy, so Duke guys are going to get it. But Laettner started it. Laettner made you hate, and Bobby Hurley, he was just a weasel. But
people
once
don't like
they
Coach
beat UNLV
K either.
For me, no, and Coach K too. Coach K too.
Once they took out UNLV. It went to another level.
It's people on different levels, actually. There's guys who ruin you who are really great. There's trolls. And then there's guys that was mentioned, like David Eckstein, who you just, God, there's something. Just get David Eckstein out. Why is this guy such a pain in our ass? And you just like, oh, no, not this guy. There's always hitters like that. I remember when I was in Little League, and I was like 11 years old as a pitcher. And I was a good pitcher, and I'd get a bunch of strikeouts because, you know, you just have to be bigger than other kids or whatever. And so, I was a decent pitcher, but there was this one guy who, I was 10, I think, at the time. I would strike out, what would we go, 5-6 innings, whatever it was. I'd strike out most of the hitters, and then there was one guy who I could not, I don't know what it was about this little slappy left-hander, this kid, and his name was Tim. I'll never forget. I was getting wrecked by a kid named Tim. It was a terrible feeling when I was 10 years old. And he would just, I couldn't throw a ball past him. There's nothing I could do. And this little slap was just, he was just heckling me. Even when they were outs, I just couldn't, you know, get the ball past him because he just was such a little heckler. He's still in my head right now.
Is Tim decades still later. Alive?
I haven't stalked him. I don't know his last name. I don't even know how to find him now, Trey.
You could find him on Facebook and be like, hey, Tim. Guess what? I work for the NFL Network now. What are you doing?
Is that how you dunk on Tim?
You know what? I could count coming to him like that, Trey. And he could be like, who are you? And
I don't remember.
I don't even remember you. How do we know each other? And I'd be like, remember when I used to pitch? And then he'd say, No, I've moved on from then. Clearly you haven't. And then look what happens. I get embarrassed all over again.
There's
Trey.
No good way to do this unless Tim remembers you immediately and starts talking about what he
never,
did to you.
Yeah, in his head, he'd have to be like, oh, Lance could never get me out. Or he could never.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how he's gone through his life.
Remembering the guy he used to own. If Tim, look, it's a credit to you. You were able to overcome Tim owning
you.
If Tim is still has still remembered and thinks back, and Lance is on the NFL Network. He does this radio thing for years. But you know what? He couldn't get me out. If Tim is still harping on that, then Lance has won already.
Yeah, if he is. But if Tim's also saying he couldn't get me out, then he still kind of is in my head. If Tim knew it too, and I know that Tim knows that I couldn't get him out, and as 10-year-olds.
I think Tim knew it at 10. I don't know if he remembers it now.
No. Here's being a long-suffering Browns fan. Any Pittsburgh Steelers and their annoying fans?
Not John Elway.
There's been John Elway.
Wouldn't John Elway
up
being Browns?
What about James Harrison?
I don't know if pass rushers do it. I don't know.
But he literally killed Colt McCoy on television.
It's not Colt McCoy. What Brown fan was attached to Colt
Maybe
McCoy?
Maybe they thought that was going to be...
Colt McCoy's gotten killed multiple times. Yeah, he was also almost murdered by Alabama.
Yeah, but remember James
Marcel
Harrison... Darius.
Marcel Darius almost murdered him.
James Harrison tried to kill him on TV.
I just don't think Browns fans were that attached to Colt. That's all.
How do you know?
Because it's Colt McCoy. Colt McCoy hasn't garnered any love since he graduated from Texas.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. No one cares.
Yeah.
Colt's still thinking? In the league, though. Credit to him. Still going.
Oh, boy. We got a lot. We'll catch up to this topic. All of a sudden, the tweets came in, and they're coming in hot and heavy. And there's some pretty good ones as well. Trey is a saint. Ro Pimpin says, this is going to be a great show. We've got people. Is Trey the Gilbert of NASCAR? Yes. He 100% is the Gilbert of NASCAR. So we got that going for us. When we come back, top of the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to set up the Houston Astros. They lost, but they did get the soft sweep. Soft sweep is when you win 3 of 4. And they got the soft sweep yesterday. But Jake Odorizzi didn't exactly look like a guy who wanted to knock Luis Garcia to the bullpen. We'll talk about that and more. We also need to get to the vanquished king who is gone. The Kingslayer.
Kingslayer,
known as Devin Booker. Devin Booker is the young Kingslayer. I don't know what that makes Chris Paul, but we'll get into it.
He's the old grizzled Kingslayer. Look, Anthony Davis, or as you like to call him now, Street Clothes. Tried it, and we'll talk about that. I mean, it was comforting watching Lakers go out last night.
Right. 7:59. We'll get your thoughts on that and more as we tell you what's going on with the playoffs. But if you're a LeBron James fan, maybe time to find a new shirt. You may have to get a new LeBron shirt if he leaves. 7:59.
ESPN 97.5.